The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports.
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 So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yes, we do. And apparently this is a legacy game in a first-round series? All right, well, let's do it. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart. Aaron Vrabel, Lord Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like, send a message. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. Or you can watch us on the Twitch channel. Very simple. Just go to twitch.tv/ESPN975, and you can watch us and comment and hear what goes on the breaks, which sometimes is entertaining and sometimes is just sitting here staring at the screen quietly.
Trying to figure out what we're going to do next.
And it is a Wednesday, so when you call, text, tweet, Twitch, whatever you do, put odds on it. What are the odds? It's going to be a fun show, Hoffman.
Like 58%?
Not feeling it today?
I just never know.
See, I'm feeling it today. I think it's going to be a good show. I'm going to go 89.9%.
Oh, that's a high number.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun show.
That's high mark. Well, your computer's not muted, so you're off to a bad start.
Yeah, that happens. Like
it can still be a fun show, but now it's a poor performance.
Oh, excuse me, mister. You hit the button four times a show now.
Well, I at least know how to turn it off immediately. Well, you, like, fumble around like it's your first day with the computer.
Well, because I don't have the sound thing set on my... I have to go to settings to turn sound off.
You can't just push F10 and mute it?
No. I mean, I'm sure...
F10 has a little, there's like a speaker with no lines coming out of it.
Oh, okay.
That instantly mutes your computer.
Okay, good to know.
Now you know. The more you know.
Well, it's kind of your fault because we had a Zoom meeting this afternoon. That's why
I
had it turned on.
That's not my fault. I didn't request the Zoom meeting.
Well, yeah, but you were in it.
I was.
So I'm blaming you.
Well, that seems ridiculous.
That's fair. Like, you blame me for a lot of stuff, so...
Well, those are things that are your fault.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
But...
The big, big game tonight, Fred. Are you excited? Are you nervous? Does anyone care? Has everyone given up on the Rockets being meaningful?
Well, has there ever been a Game 7 of a playoff series that you've been less enthusiastic about?
Yes. It was last night's Game 7.
I'm talking about involving a local team.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry. I should have clarified.
Yeah, this is probably the one. I mean, and to be fair, it's a first-round game. And we thought this series could be good. It's just not. It hasn't been good basketball. It's not really been entertaining. Both teams, it seemed at times they were both trying not to win, which is a little frustrating. It almost feels like it's somebody's got to advance, so they're gonna play the game and they're gonna march to their deaths. But yeah, the only thing that makes it interesting to me is what happens if the Rockets lose, like what the aftermath, what the off season becomes if that were to happen.
I just have a sneaking suspicion that they're gonna use the whole bubble thing and the Rona as an excuse and say, well. Maybe not D'Antoni, but everybody else is back. And if it hadn't have been for that, the team would have gotten it together by the end of the year, which I don't necessarily think is the right approach, but I suspect that's what's going to happen. And everybody's going to be up in arms. Oh, you got to do this. You got to trade James Harden. And it's going to be like, well, if it weren't for the Rona, then this wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
And I think, I'm pretty sure they're going to win tonight. And then we're not even going to talk about this series. And to me,
because they were supposed to win,
but it's going to come down to how badly they lose to the Lakers. And if you get run out of there in five games, which is likely or possible, certainly, then maybe you look at it differently. If they wind up going seven and barely losing, then it's going to come down to, if it just weren't for Russ tweaking his knee in game six, the Rockets would have won.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I guess to me, everyone just acts like it's a foregone conclusion when, and because everybody defaults. And remember, this is a 4-5 matchup. These teams went in. Weren't their records the exact same, or was there a game or two difference?
I think they were the same, but it really didn't matter. I
mean, so everyone is really just saying, well, the Rockets, they're clearly the better team because of what they were expected to be in the preseason. Well, I got news for you guys. The Rockets are a disappointment. No one said, oh, if the Rockets can just finish as the 4 seed this year, everything will be good. They've already disappointed. There's no reason why they won't continue to disappoint, because that's what they do.
Yeah, I mean, I had hopes that these guys would figure it out, but they really aren't any different than they were when the season started. It's just the same team. They play well and hit their threes, they can beat anybody.
Yes.
But when they, you know, go out there and shoot like garbage and throw the ball away, they can lose to anybody. And guess what? Tonight, they could easily lose to anybody.
Easily. And the one thing they've got going in their favor is the Thunder are led by another playoff loser, a career loser in Chris Paul. So it's not like, you know, they're going up against a guy like Kawhi, who you know is just going to rip your heart out. They're going against another guy just like James. Like, somebody's got to win this series. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah, and forget all the legacy. I don't know where that came from. I mean, these guys are all playoff losers. And I think you said it the other day, until one of them wins a title,
that's all they ever are.
That's what they're going to be judged by.
Yeah. You can't. Winning this series isn't going to make people go, oh, well, that certainly makes me think differently about James long term. No, because it's a first round playoff series. James Harden's supposed to be one of the best players in the NBA. If he loses in the first round, are we really? I mean, I've been saying this, and I was just talking to Josh about it. If James Harden really wants to be looked at as like a top three, top five NBA player, don't you at some point have to break through that? Because otherwise, what are you? Why? And I mean, that this is 100% the reason why Kevin Durant ended up going to Golden State, because he knew it was haunting him.
Yeah, he wasn't going to get there without somebody else. And
so, do we eventually see James Harden do that? Does James Harden go back to being like, hey, LeBron and AD, I've made a lot of money. I'm willing to take less money to come hang out with you guys and maybe win. Like, does it ever get to that? I don't know. I'm not saying that it will. But do you think there's going to be a time in James's career where he realizes, as the alpha, he cannot win a championship and decides to go ride someone's coattails?
Not anytime soon.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I think.
But I'm saying by the end.
By the end, probably, because everybody realizes
I'm still standing firm that he's not going to win one as the alpha. It's not going to happen. If he's the best player on your team, you have a ceiling that isn't the NBA championship. I'm sorry. So I think eventually he does. I think he says, you know what? I gotta go jump on somewhere else. You know, LeBron will probably be retired out of the league by then. But I do think he'll go jump on with someone else, and maybe he gets one that way. But it won't be like because James was the man. That it's not going to happen.
No. And I mean, I don't know. I think if you had, well, I mean, I think if when they were playing their best this year, Westbrook was the best player on the team, better than Harden. And I think that's what, when you saw what, okay, that team could do it. And then they went on a losing streak at the end, and then we had the Rona and all this. But so I think your point is right. It's just, I don't know that Russell's any different.
And he's not.
And when he's at his best, is that good enough?
Russ, the problem with Russ, well, the problem with Russ is the same problem as James, and it's really the story of the Rockets. Their floor to their ceiling has more of a gap than anyone else in the league. Like, Russ Westbrook can go out there and be a great player.
Yeah.
But he can also give you, like, a complete and utter stinker.
Yeah, like he did the other night.
Like, rarely do you see, say, so can James. Like, James can have one of those nights where he goes, you know, 3 of 20 from 3. That can happen. Guys like LeBron James, you rarely see that happen. Like, there's times where LeBron doesn't score a lot of points, but usually it's because he was passive. And rarely are you going to have games where LeBron shoots like 25% from the field. That rarely happens. These guys are just high. They're volatile. They're high swing, big risk, big reward guys. And it makes for it. And I guess in a way that makes it interesting because if the, like you said, if the good Rockets show up, they can beat damn near anybody. And if the bad Rockets show up, they can lose to a Thunder team that wasn't even supposed to make the playoffs. That's really what they are.
It's like I said yesterday, Harden is the front-running horse. And maybe because I spent about 4 hours today going through every damn Derby horse and watching every possible race, which, by the way, before people ask for hockey picks, I have not had a chance to look and probably won't because Derby week is extremely busy for me, and I got a bunch of I have a thing coming for Friday. I have a breakdown of every single horse. I've got bets for the undercard. And tomorrow I'll have all my pregame plays on there, which will be my actual bets.
Well, just give me who's going to win these series. Are the Flyers or Islanders going to win? It's Islanders 3-2, right?
I know. I still think the Islanders win, but if the Flyers can force a game seven, it's kind of the same thing with the Avs. If they force a game seven, then I'm betting everything on them in game seven.
Okay.
But I think the Isles win tonight.
Are the Canucks toast?
Man, they're hanging in there. That little goalie of theirs who's been the second coming forever, 42 saves last night, just came out and just played out of his mind, which I didn't expect.
But they're down 3-2, right?
They're also down 3-2.
And they won one last night, so they've got to win. And they're going to have to win game six and seven are Thursday and Friday, so they got to win on back-to-back nights.
Yeah, which won't be easy. But yeah, the thing about these series, especially when you're up 3-1 in hockey, and I guess we can talk to the Jazz about this. When you get back to 3-3, those guys tighten up like hell. The guys that had the 3-1 lead, because they're like, oh, we can't blow a 3-1 lead, and they usually play tight and bad, and that's why you see so many teams come back from 3-1.
So, and then Stars leading 3-2 over the Avalanche. Stars finish it off?
I think if the Avs win tonight, they win the series. I do think the Stars finish it off tonight.
Okay.
So
me, mostly because I have access to the Stanley Cup Finals if I want to carry them.
Yeah.
I feel like if the Stars make it, it's at least I'll consider carrying them because maybe around here people will care.
I think they would be interesting. I think there's some Avs fans around here too.
Okay.
But I don't think there's a lot of Canucks fans. And
is there a lot of Tampa Bay Lightning fans?
No.
Or New York Islanders fans?
Islanders, yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because we do have a New York contingent here. And I know this from going to the hockey bar.
Aren't the Islanders not even the most popular team in New York?
No, they're not. The Rangers are. But the Rangers are kind of like...
This is like the Mets.
Yeah.
The Islanders are like the Mets.
But there's some Isles fans here. And, you know, this is my highly scientific because I go to a hockey bar all the time and count jerseys.
Oh, okay.
So, you know.
Well, there's math involved at least.
Well, those people will listen. No, those people, let's face it. They're going to be watching the game. Yeah. So, but I think your best result for that, if you want, well, you wanted the Bruins because for some reason people like the Bruins, but they sucked. So, I would say... Stars would be the best one, and it's Stars Flyers. You need to root for the Flyers to come back,
okay?
Because there's a bunch of Philly people here, and plus Josh has a bunch of Philly people, so that would be your best. Stars then Avs, but you need the Flyers to rally.
Okay,
Tampa Bay, no one cares about outside of Tampa. I mean, they're fun to watch and they're a really talented team, but they're. You know, they've got like 8 fans around the country. So accept what you create. You need to know your place. 'Cause it's about to get heavy.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. So I need a ruling on something, A.J. and Aaron, about whose fault this was.
Well, yours.
Well, it's your fault you didn't turn your microphone on.
No, it's actually not.
So I get home last night.
Your fault.
Yeah, I probably should. Well, if I'd stopped on the way home, then it would have been a disaster because I get home and I hear one of the burners on the stove doing that little click, click, click thing that it does. And I think, okay, well, wife must be cooking something. And I get upstairs and I smell smoke. And I'm like, what the hell? And I see there's two pizza boxes on top of the stove. So she's ordered pizza for us. But the burner is going and is setting one of the boxes on fire. And she's nowhere to be found. And so I run over there and take them off there and you know, dump them in the sink. And stop. Of course, the fire alarm goes off. So the fire truck has to come out and everything else. And the place is full of smoke. And she comes running up the stairs going, well, what's going on? Well, you set a fire, woman. And, oh, well, the dog must have done it. And it's like, well, okay, so you put pizza, which she knows pizza boxes. She's if anywhere near where she can get to them, she's going to try to jump up and get the pizza. That's just what dogs do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, apparently she jumped up and accidentally started the burner. And I just kind of thought that that was her fault, not the dog's fault. And the first off, why are you putting cardboard boxes on top of a stove? Seems to me that doesn't really work. And why are you out in the, working in the front yard, leaving the dog by herself with pizza in reach?
Not necessarily wise, I would say.
Yeah, I was told it was the dog's fault, and shut up, basically.
No, I'm taking your side in this. Especially if I ever get a pizza and whoever's ready, going to eat it isn't ready, you throw it in the oven so it stays warm.
See, yes, because you're considerate.
Yeah, I don't do that.
She had just taken her two pieces and eaten them and then just left it there. And I'm like, okay. And hey, fine, you want to work in the front yard? Take the dog with you.
Or
don't,
that.
Don't leave the, because she likes to go out in the front yard and hang out with her. So why are you doing that and not, and putting a car, but nope, I'm not allowed to blame her for this. It's the dog's fault. And I'm like, okay. And thankfully I got home when I did, because 2 minutes later, that whole box is in flames and there's wood above that. So God knows what would have happened. But, you know. It is the dog's fault for being able to, when she jumps up, putting her paw on the thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yes, she has to accept some of the blame, and she's still technically on probation. So, I think arson arson would have been a pretty serious crime.
This dog's never going to be in trouble with you.
Well, okay. We all have our favorite kid. But, yeah, okay. So, as long as I'm not out of line here. Is that UTEP James? Let's get UTEP James on.
I don't know.
Yes, sir.
What's up, buddy?
Got a question for you guys. What are the odds? What are the odds my Houston parlay hits tonight? I got the Astros money line and Rockets money line. Got it at plus 128. How do you guys liking that?
Listen, I don't bet the NBA and I don't bet baseball. I mean, you would think that those...
So other than that, yeah.
Right. You would think, I mean, they're both favored. They both should win. But there's a reason why Vegas lets you parlay.
Yeah, I mean, in a nice way, I think what he's doing is setting us up to talk about whether the Astros and the Rockets are both going to win tonight. And I'm going to say, good luck.
I mean, you wouldn't expect the Astros to completely screw the pooch like they did last night with giving up the tying home run. Don't ever put Ryan Pressly in when you're within seven runs.
Who do you put?
Yeah, I mean, who do you have?
Let Correa try it. I don't care. Anybody but Ryan Pressly at this point.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. What's your option? Like, everybody else in the
bullpen
has,
they have a better
ERAs that are in their 20s.
At the same time, if you're within seven, you know you don't really have a chance to hold on to that lead with Ryan Pressly. But then two errors and a balk that, you know, gives it up. I think you could bet that that won't happen again tonight. So when you're looking at it, logistically, they should win. So there's half of it.
You would think. But who knows? I don't know. Again, I really think that this... I mean, the Rangers suck. The Astros are a really good team. The Rangers are not a good team. That should be a given. Baseball's there's a lot of... there's a lot of fluctuation. I mean, and you never know who's going to with the Rangers. They threw out their opener yesterday, pitched one inning. Like it's just weird baseball. They're a team that's given up.
Right.
So you never know what the effort is going to be like from them. So they're really hard to get a read on. And then the Astros, they could come out like Framber in the first inning yesterday. It's like, dude, have you ever picked up a baseball before? Like, do you understand what you're supposed to be doing? Like, he hit the first guy, and then the guy steals, and Then the ball goes off the catcher's foot, a wild pitch off the catcher's foot. That he has an error. Then he has an error on the hit, and then the runs. I mean, it was just a total disaster inning for Framber, and then he settled down. So I don't know. I mean, I like to think that the Astros are much better, but baseball's high variance. The Rockets, I'm in the boat now where on paper they should be way better than the Thunder. I'm not believing in that team. I mean, I expect them to win, but I'm not like willing to put money on it. Certainly, no way. They've not shown me anything that makes me go, yeah, this is that team we all thought they were. No, that's not them. It's not them.
I do think if you're betting the Rockets, it just depends on if you think the Rockets are going to win, you take them to cover the 5.5 because they're not going to win a close game. And if you think it's going to be a close game, I'd take the money line on the Thunder. But I don't have a feel for this game other than. You know, I mean, I wouldn't bet on it anyway because I just don't trust the Rockets. And I do feel like they're going to run away and hide tonight. But I'm not going to be shocked if it gets down to a 2-point game in the fourth quarter. I'm going to have zero faith in them. So a couple people saying, aren't Dalmatians supposed to put out fires? Maybe she was starting it so she could do that. Well, they don't actually put out fires. They just kind of ride around with the firemen. Maybe she just was, you know, seeking out her roots. I don't know.
The Blitz.
The Blitz
on ESPN.
ESPN
97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back. Jay Garza says, longtime churchgoer and Bible man, Jesus whiskey sounds awesome. And he definitely could turn water into whiskey.
According to Aaron, he couldn't even grow the grain.
Well, you know.
Jesus couldn't have set up a distillery. He didn't have the steel. Where was he going to get that heat source?
Listen, this is you guys make fun of me for being old, but I was there in the days of Jesus, and I can tell you he could have made whiskey very easily, even though I was very young at the time.
I never said he couldn't have done it.
Yeah.
I said that it didn't exist at the time.
But, you know,
didn't know about it. He can't make something he doesn't know doesn't exist.
You could like, pull his best quotes, and each bottle has a different quote. I mean, it could be really cool.
I like it.
I mean, I'm just saying. I'm not saying it to be. I'm not saying it to be sacrilegious or anything. So,
you were around when Jesus Christ had his moment of doubt and pain.
I was. Made sure the pilot washed his hands and sealed his fate.
Pleased to meet you. Won't you guess my name?
I think you just called me Lucifer. I don't know if that's fair, sir. You know, because I'm not on that team. I don't play on that team.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 281, you guys aren't concerned about Elimination Game James coming to life tonight? Of course we are. I'm not concerned about it.
I'm telling you, anybody who tells you they know what's going to happen in tonight's game is lying to you. No, I have no clue. This may be a game tomorrow. This may be James's big moment. This may be the one where and by the way, if it is, I'm going to poo-poo it tomorrow because that's where he's in a no-win situation. Because if he somehow puts the team on his back and wins this series, we're going to go, wow, look at James put his team on the back and won a first-round series in Game 7 against the Thunder, who have almost no good players. But if he loses, it's like, oof.
Well, I mean,
there's another one.
That's the story, right? If they lose, then it's once again James Harden proves he can't get his team over the top, and this time in the first round against an inferior opponent.
And I feel for him in a way because it's this series can impact his legacy negatively but not really impact his legacy positively. Like, for him to have, like, for this season to impact his legacy positively, he would have to win, not only would have to win this series, he has to win the next one, and probably the next one. Or at least, you know, have a good showing in the next one. I think if he doesn't get to the finals, his legacy kind of remains unchanged. So he would, to improve it, I think he'd have to get to the finals. And even then, if he lose in the finals, are we like, oh, he's finally over the hump? No. No one's going to say that. He has to win an NBA championship to get past the label that's on him. And you can say, is that fair? Maybe it's not. But if you want to be considered one of the all-time greats, and the numbers say he should be in the conversation for that. He's one of the best scorers of all time. But if you want to get past being one of the best scorers of all time and into the best players of all time conversation, that's what it's going to take.
Well, and that's why legacies are a two-part thing. I mean, it's the numbers you put up and the spectacular things you do, but then it's also the titles. And that's why I think if Kawhi Leonard wins another one with a third team, we're going to start talking about his legacy looking completely different than what it is now, which, you know, he starts getting in that conversation with, okay, just how high up does this guy go? And that's because of what you do on the floor, and a big part of that is your legacy in the playoffs. And that's just, you know, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and those guys are always going to be considered more elite simply because they won the titles than what James has done. And whether that's fair or not, that's a different discussion. But, you know, I think at some point he has to at least get a team to the finals.
Yeah.
And then, you know, at least it's not, oh, he just never could get there.
And by the way, he's not alone in this. I know right now it feels like he's alone, but Giannis is in the same boat.
Yep.
Giannis right now, I mean, he's about to be a multiple-time MVP, and he doesn't have a ring to show for it. People are going to start saying the same things about him that they do about James. And it's the same things people said about Dirk before Dirk got one. It was like, well, Dirk to James is a really good comparison, pre-title Dirk. Because pre-title Dirk was one of the great scorers of all time, but maybe not one of the great players of all time. It took a great playoff run for us to really look at Dirk and go, wow, that's a pretty amazing career when it's all said and done. So like James Harden's not going to, whatever happens, he could never make it to a Western Conference Finals again. And when it's all said and done, he's a Hall of Famer. But no one will ever look at him as one of the greatest ever if that's the amount of success he has. It just doesn't work that way.
No, and it's pretty rare because you look at the guys who never won that were great players, and Barkley, Karl Malone, I think, are pretty high on that list. I think people consider them great players, but they're never going to be in that conversation where you're talking about. And I mean, Karl Malone, you could talk about as the best power forward, but are you going to put him in a conversation for one?
You
of the
can't talk
players?
About him as the best power forward anymore. You know why? Because a guy who was as good or close to as good as him, named Tim Duncan, came along and won a bunch of rings, and now there's no conversation of who the best power forward is.
I think Tim Duncan was better, but I do too. It depends on,
but that's a slam dunk on it.
Yeah, like, it depends on where you count him, because he played a lot of center for him as well. And is he in the center conversation? I tend to put him in the power forward conversation too. But for the longest time, people would say Karl Malone, but it's not a conversation anymore. So.
Now, if Karl Malone had the same amount of rings that Tim Duncan had,
it'd be a conversation.
Now it's a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, Harden's never going to go down as the greatest at his position of all time, because that's just not feasible. That's okay. There's some pretty stiff competition there. But if he wants to go down as one of the greats of this era, I think that he has to win something. You know, another early exit just cements it more in the mind. But that said, that's why all this talk about legacy is kind of silly.
Well, I know.
Because if eventually he wins one, everyone forgets all the bonehead things that he lost. It's just like Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant was a loser until he got to Golden State. And then, well, now he's got a ring. Oh, he's a winner now. He's a winner now.
I don't know. I think a lot of people also look at him as, oh, that was the only way he could win. And they kind of diminish him a little bit. But I'll
think about if Steph Curry had no rings. how people would talk about him.
He'd be Dame Lillard.
He's just a shooter. Yeah. He's, you know, he's not like, but because he's won championships, no one can question how good Steph Curry is because he's had multiple MVPs, multiple titles. Like, there's no debating that Steph Curry's one of the greats of all time now. All it'll take is a ring for James. He's just, I just don't see him getting it. I definitely don't see him getting it in his prime.
Well, I'll just remind you, this is before your time, but there was a lot of similar conversation about a guy named Hakeem Olajuwon before he won two.
Yeah.
And we look at him a lot differently. And it was very similar. They kept trying to put people around him. And Ralph Sampson broke down, so that didn't work. But then, you know, Sleepy Floyd and Joe Barry Carroll, and they just kept putting all these pieces around him. And they finally got the right team with...
you're talking with Ori and Cassell and eventually Mario as they roll through. Yeah, Kenny Smith. But I also think, and you probably know better than me, because I didn't see Young Dream live. It also seems that he developed more as a player as he got older.
He did, but...
And he had more part. And a lot of it was because he came in so raw as a basketball player.
Well, even just his first year at UH to his second year at UH, I loved watching this guy because I got to see firsthand how he developed from his first college game to what he became as an NBA MVP. But he... like, there were little things. Like, when he first started, like, when he'd block a shot, he'd block it as hard as he could out of bounds.
Right. Put an emphasis on it.
And they finally got him to where, when he blocked it, he would block it to one of his teammates, and they'd have a fast break. And he just and his offense developed with the Rockets. But I think he was as good a player for the couple of years before that, before their titles. He was as good as he was when they won the titles.
But it felt like they were inching closer and closer, right?
Not really, man. They couldn't get over the hump either. They lost that Seattle series, and you're just like, really? You know, this isn't going to happen. And, I mean, there was a lot of the same conversation, is that, you know what, this team's never going to be good enough. And then they won two. And all of a sudden, Hakeem Olajuwon's an all-time great. He was always going to be an all-time great player, but it changes your legacy significantly.
Right.
And I think if Harden were to win one, it would totally change.
He was always
it.
Going to be a great player.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be, like, there wouldn't be a debate of, okay, who will you take? Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem, Shaq, or Hakeem? If Olajuwon didn't have those two rings, he wouldn't be allowed in that conversation. But because he does, he's allowed in the conversation. And by the way, it's got to be the toughest debate. I don't know where you go.
Well, but, I will just, I don't like judging the guys that were before my time, but... You know, Bill Russell was one of five Hall of Famers in a lineup that played in an 8-team league with a bunch of short white guys. So
he's probably fifth on my list.
Yeah, so if you yeah,
outside yes. of that though, I don't know. Wilt Chamberlain dunked on a bunch of short white guys, but even if you say okay, Kareem, Olajuwon, Shaq, I'll hear an argument.
Yeah, know? Yeah, and you know, Kareem was a different animal, man. That guy was unlike anything we've seen in the NBA in that. He was, you know, that skyhook was unstoppable. He was different than those. Shaq and Hakeem were physical monsters. Kareem was a finesse player who could also play tough because he was just so damn big. And, you know, I don't know who I'd start a team with, to be honest. If you give me the guy in his prime, I think I'd take any one of those, although not in today's NBA.
In today's NBA, yeah. None of them are really useful. Well, Hakeem's the most useful of them.
Yeah, because he Well, you know what? Kareem would be pretty useful, too, because he could just – that guy out to about 10 feet. You can't get to a shot if you wanted to make it.
But then who knows? If you have a guy like Shaq, even in today's NBA, is he hard to – we saw Rudy Gobert last night. Rudy Gobert went on a run that – like the Jazz were dead last night. And it wasn't Spider Mitchell who took over the game. It was Rudy Gobert. Took over the game as a big – and got them right back in the game. And then, of course, you know, they blow it at the end. Sort of blow it. I hate to say they blow it. They kind of did blow it. We haven't even talked about that game, which I'd love to talk about in the next segment. I thought it was that series, which I had almost no interest whatsoever in. These young studs, Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell, made that series not only watchable, but like interesting. And last night, the finish to the game.
I'll say game seven was interesting to me. The rest of the series, I didn't.
Watching those two guys go back and forth and take over games because they were both incredible in the series. But last night was that was probably the best game that we've had in the playoffs, right?
Most competitive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely.
Well, yeah, it wasn't great if you had the over.
Well, let's not pretend it was great basketball, but it was very entertaining and very competitive.
ESPN 97.5.
Please stand by.